¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the whole internet. It is me, one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And it is me, one of your hosts, Kelsey, and it is a perfect, beautiful day for a podcast, and I'm so excited to see you all. It's a beautiful day for, I don't even know what's happening. There was something in my, I gotta put my Do Not Disturb on.
You know you said Kelsey?
I know. Yeah, I did that
okay,
on purpose.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. I was waiting for the follow-up for the rest of the bit
I'm
to come out.
Just, I'm just Kelsey. Just, okay. That's it.
You guys are so lucky that there's two of me. And none of Carmen.
And none of Carmen. Yeah, you know what? Today, I'm going to talk like this. This is my Kelsey voice.
Very bad impression of me. My voice is wildly low.
I say words like lawyer.
I do say lawyer. That part was correct.
Lawyer.
The pitch is off.
My name is Kelsey.
Also, I'd say the bitch is off. You're probably not being mean enough. But I guess if there's no Carmen, there's no one to be mean to.
That's fair. Oh, boy. All right. Anyways, back to me and Carmen. I'm Carmen, two favorite hosts. This is amazing. Before we get started, everyone, before we jump into the rambling and the rantings of two deranged people, because we're daytime recording today, it's like day drinking, but worse. And I feel like you all should take a second, hit that 5-star button, hit that review button, hit that like, share, subscribe. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, it helps the algorithm, and we read all of the reviews on air, even if they're shitty, incorrect 1-star reviews. We read them.
Did we get a new one that's shitty and incorrect?
No. Oh, okay. I don't even know.
I was like, oh no.
I haven't looked. Let me look now. I'm so scared.
You've jinxed it.
I jinxed it. These podcasters never start on time when they spend 100 hours doing bullshit. Nope. No new reviews. Correct. Perfect. Amazing. Yeah. You know what? It's just been, a lot of stuff's happened. Just not really. I'm just today. Like, we both lived 1,000 lifetimes today, it feels like. It's just crazy. Do you want to share?
No, you share.
Okay. So I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning today after going to bed at around 12:30 midnight last night. And I was up because I had to get some stuff together. I was selling some shoes because I've sold some shoes to make room for money for
We are going to be circling back to this.
Yes.
But continue.
For the card show coming up in a couple weeks. So I really wanted to get out of shoes. I've found the collection piece. I kept a lot of the shoes that I really wanted to have as collection pieces, hopefully displaying them someday. But the ones that I had just to have, I just took the money from them and I'm going to put them towards the cards that I really want. And also enjoying that with Marlo. So I had to load them into my car. I sold 16 pairs of shoes today. And
to how many people?
One.
Wow.
And, yep.
That's crazy.
Just found one guy to buy all of them. And I could have made a little bit more pricing them all out individually, but it wouldn't have been enough to offset the amount of time that we would have gone into.
Yeah, the convenience.
So, and we met up at a police station. That was my choice. I went in the first parking spot, so it was great. And then I went to Target and I set up my chair, Jessica's chair, and Marlo's little dinosaur chair, and I had camped out for Pokemon cards. The reason was, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but the reason was, is last Friday, the booster bundles of Ascended Heroes, so just really quick, Ascended Heroes is the set of cards under the Mega Evolutions umbrella. It's like a very popular set. They have a lot of cards that are in the $500,000 range. And commas in between, not 500,000, 500, $700, $1,000 range.
There you go.
So those are very popular cards, and all three of those cards I really want, but the booster bundles are kind of the no frills. They don't come with a promo card. They don't come with like extra stuff, and they're kind of hard to get because of that. So they had been on display at some Targets last Friday, but they weren't scanning. and the date on the registers would tell people it was the 15th that they could go out. So I took a chance, and I was there at 5:30 in the morning because I did not want anyone else getting there before me. And Jessica and Marlo were at the ready to show up 20 minutes before opening, get back in their spot in line, and just come in with me. And we were each going to place our orders. And we didn't need to do that. They didn't release that product, but they had a full restock of everything else. So we got our full purchases of Elite Trainer boxes, which are the hard things to get for Ascended Heroes. And we've ripped a couple, Jess and I. We have two more that we're going to rip with Marlo tonight. It'll be a blast. But it was cool. Like, the guys that were there in line had showed up, and when they were like, they all kind of came out in line, like, right at the last minute. They're like, wow, she's literally so happy to get her cards. And I was like, yeah, like, she's, this is what it's all about. Right. And it was kind of cool seeing the guys come together and, like, just people in the Pokemon community appreciating that this is, it's ultimately, it's a kid's game. So that was fun. And then we had someone come look at our house today to give us an idea of how much it could be worth. So we had the realtors who sold us our house, who worked through us with that journey. It was their first time getting back in the house to see all the renovations that we've done. So they gave us a good price estimate of what we had. So Jess and I were talking over that a little bit. So it's been a long day. Mm-hmm. It's been a
is that because you're going to move here to live near me?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah. We're honestly not even moving. I think we needed to get an idea of...
I don't think you should move until you move here to live near me.
Right.
Again, I'm pro moving within a very specific radius to me.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. We do look at we looked at that house in your neighborhood, you know. We love all that stuff. So,
well, you love my house cuz Jessica loves it cuz the one she sent me was my house.
I think your house is shit.
Oh.
No, I love your house too. Obviously, I love your house. I don't love the hill in the back. Like, I think hills in Tennessee
I also don't
is the
love
hardest
that.
Part. Yeah. But honestly, like, there with the fence, you guys have done an awesome job with the house there.
We do love it.
And
we
Michael is prioritizing a carpenter. So he's just like building shit out of, you know, thin air.
Yeah, we do want to prioritize the backyard because the kids do love to play out back, and it would be nicer if they were not just relegated to only the one spot.
Mm. So yeah, that's what's up with me. That was my day. Been up since 5 o'clock in the morning, very productive getting Pokemon cards, sold some shoes, had a realtor come over, took a meeting, and now here we are. Oh, and while I was waiting in line at Target this morning at 5:30 in the morning, I watched the episode and took my notes. So I was very efficient. I was like on it all day long.
Yes.
And now I'm sleep deprived.
I am also sleep deprived, Wyatt. Was not doing the sleep last night. No! Don't know why. Don't know what her issue was. Aww. I think I do, though, because Michael took her with him to work today. And because I had a bunch of things I needed to get done.
Yes.
And so he did text me at like 9 that she had the biggest blowout of her life, like up to, like literally up to her armpit. He was wiping poop off of her back. And I was like, I bet that's why she slept like shit last night.
She was ready to explode and never couldn't get it out.
So that was my theory, but he took the kids to school. So I woke up at 6:30, got everybody ready, packed all Wyatt's food. Cause now she eats real food in addition.
Hell yeah.
To Milky's. And so packed all that up, got everybody ready, got them out the door, started doing some work. Cause it's rare that I'm here in this house without another human being. There are still two dogs, but they're pretty chill outside. Cause it's so fucking nice out right now.
Yes.
So they're really vibing outside. So I was doing some emails, lame. Then I interviewed somebody, awesome. Interviewed someone else, lame. And then
that's about how it goes. You get maybe 50-50 if you're lucky.
Yeah. I will say I posted on Indeed for the jobs, and I had 48 people apply, which was a lot more than I anticipated. Culling down through the resumes, I got down to 8 people that I was like, I definitely want to interview these people. And some of them, their resumes were really writing some checks that they could not cash in an interview, which was a bummer. But some of them, I was like, amazing resume, amazing person, personality is great, feels like a really good fit, experience is there. I also try not to like judge just by experience because like I didn't have any event experience when I got my job. But I'm good at my job. But I had a lot of I had a lot of you know, like customer service and guest and like problem solving experience, which is like there's a lot of different experiences that can work in various fields. So I always try not to be like, you know, I'm not going to judge you because you've never done this exact job before. I'm going to judge you if you've done no job and you want this job, because I don't know that that's going to be a great first job for anybody.
Yeah. You know, look at, you know, people like me a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I never run an emergency animal hospital. And now look at me. I barely run an emergency animal hospital.
I medium run it. So some really good interviews for people, and then I have more interviews tomorrow. But then I also was like redoing our entire packaging system and our pricing, and like reworking what we're going to be offering, expanding some of it, eliminating some things that did not really make sense for us to offer anymore. So yeah, that's what I've been up to today. I also watched the episode.
Nice.
And sorry.
Nice.
And I did some dishes. I made sourdough last night, but I ate sourdough today.
You better have some sourdough for the 4th of July weekend. That's all I'm going to say.
I'll make you some sourdough.
Sourdough and Corners Only brownies like normal people.
Hell yeah. So yes, it's been a productive day. It's also just wild anytime I'm here in this house with no other people, because it never happens.
That is amazing. That is awesome. There was something else that was random that I was going to tell you about, but...
Yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yes, that was it. No, that was it. Okay. That was what I was going to tell you. Yeah. So yesterday we did our transfer of a little blastocyst into Jessica for all of those following along in the IVF journey at home. I've gotten a ton of messages. Thank you so much. I'm not going to share the person's full name or their handle, but Martha, if you're listening, it truly gives me so much joy. You've really been very helpful in this journey, kind of just checking in periodically. It means a lot. So thank you for all of that. Trying to think what else. I've gotten a lot of Instagram messages, Discord messages. It really means a lot to hear from everyone. And there's quite a few people that I haven't talked to in a long time that just in general have like popped in and said hello on Instagram. So that was nice. I don't know if there's any other shout outs that I specifically have right now. And if I'm missing any, I really am so sorry. My brain is kind of scrambled right now, but in general, it's been really great to hear everyone. And we should know in less than 2 weeks. So within two episodes, we should have a pregnancy test we can update people on. Really hoping it takes. So please continue to send out good vibes, prayers, everything that you have. We'll take it all. We're not. Mm-hmm.
We're stingy.
You're not stingy. Yeah, yeah. We'll take all
stingy on the good wishes.
Yeah, I love the good wishes. Anything other shout outs we need to call out? Any new Patreoners? Is there any
new
emails?
No, I think we are caught up on our Patreons. I think we're good. So, yeah, I think let's just talk about Grey's Anatomy.
As we're jumping in, the first thing I want to say about this episode that I forgot to say last episode, because you called it out and I noticed it, mm-hmm, subconsciously, is all of the covers of the songs.
Yes.
I noticed it last week and I made a note.
This era,
it's so good.
Songs.
And I don't remember what it was, which song. Let me see if I can look back at my notes from last episode, because there was a couple of songs that I was like, oh shit, like, okay, I'm noticing. Mm-hmm. And it was in big like moments that I was like, oh, okay, this is like really, mm-hmm, cool, like what they're doing. I can't find it in my notes on like such. Oh, where is it? When Owen breaks up with Emma, they had the, mm-hmm, cover of Don't You Want Me, Baby. Yeah. The cover was playing in the background. And ever since you mentioned it, that's all I can hear. And this one, there was Time After Time was a big one.
The end. Yep. Man Eater was Man-Eater, earlier. Yeah, and then, yeah, Just Like Heaven, which is originally by The Cure, was also in this one. And
so, Tainted Love, yeah. So I'm really glad you called that out, and I forgot to mention it last episode, but for these two episodes, I really did notice it. So thank you for planting that subconscious.
You're so welcome. I'm glad that you noticed it. Yeah, I also noticed it. They're good.
I
love it. I love it every time.
I'm a fan. Here's what I want to say. I'm a fan of covers, but I did not always used to be this way. It took me a long time. Remember the movie... It was the Beatles movie where it was all covers. Yesterday was good.
Across the Universe.
I hated that movie when it first came out.
I loved that movie when it first came
out. I have not, but I was so edgy. I was like, oh, covers of songs? Are they fake musicians? They can't write their own music? Like a little bitch. I was such a fucking asshole. So,
well, also, that's what's called a jukebox musical. So it's
but I've never heard of that before.
Right,
I never
experienced
that.
I don't know
that.
If you had since then heard that term or know what that term means.
No, you're the
first
person.
So that is a musical where all of the songs are from the catalog of a singular artist or
like Mamma Mia.
Exactly. That was my follow-up example.
Yes,
Mamma Mia is because it's all ABBA songs. There's no shortage of them. They exist. They're out there. So yes, that is the term for that.
I think
I do understand where you're coming from, especially what were we? We were like juniors in high school when that came out. So it's like peak, like gotta be a.
You were a senior. I was a junior.
I actually.
You old hag.
May have been a freshman in college. When did that movie come out?
I don't even know. I think I do. I think I actually remember I was an upperclassman for sure.
Yeah. 2007. Okay. So I was a sophomore, junior or senior. Yeah.
Okay. Also, I want you all to know, I really do not think Kelsey's an old hag. I think Kelsey is a very youthful, vibrant soul. She's one of my favorite people.
I am a youthful, vibrant human. I am an old hag soul, though. So that's honestly,
fair.
We're a little bit both.
That's fair. That's so funny.
I'll call out Treef when I see it.
I did like the plot of the movie yesterday was much more engaging because it was
I actually was thinking about
so
that earlier
unique.
This week, and I was like, I never watched that movie, and I should.
Oh, great.
Because it
movie.
Was very unique. It was a very interesting concept. I just never watched it.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's a great movie. I don't know that I could do that with any artist. You know the plot of it, right?
Yeah, I know the plot, and I think that it does say a lot about the movie that you like it because the Beatles are like one of your, you know, obviously like all-time faves. So any movie where it's going to heavily focus on their music, you are going to have very high standards for.
Yes, absolutely. So. There's a scene in the movie where when he realizes that there's no music of the Beatles, he goes to his room and he writes down all the lyrics so he can have the songs and he writes them from memory. I don't think I could.
I definitely couldn't do all of them. I could do some of them.
Not even Blink. I could even Blink 182. Like I have to be sitting there in the music and singing along to it. There's a couple of songs that I've covered that are just muscle memory that I could sing and play off. Like,
covers. You can't write your own music.
How about you shut the fuck up, stupid bitches?
Never.
Kelsey sang me a voice note earlier today.
I did. I also sang one to your wife.
No, I deleted mine.
I was
Fuck
feeling
you.
Very musical today. I sang her a song, and then at the end of it, I wrote, "The song is also for your uterus."
Did you? I hope she held it up and did it right to
I
her
hope
uterus.
She did too. I hope she kept it for forever. That's I also funny. Think about that voice message that I left you that one time.
I still have. I kept that.
I think
I kept
about
that
a lot.
Yeah.
Anytime I like hack up along.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Grey's Anatomy. But we had so much
to
catch up on. And the people love the
mostly
banter.
The people love it.
At this point now, we've been recording for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are at this point in the show.
I think maybe five. This September will be five.
Okay. Well,
which is crazy.
Part of this is cathartic for us because we get to catch up with each other in our
it's
lives.
That's true.
So.
Okay. So this is episode 15 of the 10th season. It is the 211th episode overall, and it is called Throwing It All Away, and that is a song.
Throwing It All Away is the seventh track on the album Invisible Touch, which is by the band Genesis. And let me tell you guys, I did not realize that Phil Collins was in another band. Like, I thought Phil Collins was a solo artist. He was in Genesis.
Know that?
No.
That's why it gives
Phil
Tarzan vibes.
Well, yeah. So Phil Collins is the singer on the song. I was listening to it and Kelsey was beep bopping around while we were, while I was listening to it. But the Peter Gabriel, Phil Collins, Steve Hackett and Mike Rutherford and then Tony Banks. So it's like it's kind of like you ever traveling. Is it the Wilburys that has George Harrison, Eric Clapton and a couple other guys?
Couldn't tell you.
Anyways, it's basically Genesis is a super group and I did not realize that.
Yes.
And so anyways, we're listening to it and I'm like, oh, this is Phil Collins. This is great. So The album itself, released in the United States August 6, 1986, and the UK June 8, 1987, and it had done very well. It ended up reaching number 84 on the US Billboard Hot 100, but the album, how come that's not on here? So I have conflicting information here. So I see the single reached number 4.
They also had done that remastered album.
Oh, so that might be throwing off. That might be throwing off some of the information. But I have here that it reached number 4 on the Billboard's Hot 100 and number 1 on the Adult Contemporary track. But the album Invisible Touch, let me see if I can get some information on that just really quick off the top of my info here. Okay, so the album itself did very well. So it hit number 3 in Australia, number 5 in Austria, 1 in Canada, 2 in Finland, 8 in France, 2 in Germany, 5 in Italy, 9 in Japan. I feel like we don't get a lot of Japanese charting here, so love to see Japan getting representation. Number 1 in New Zealand, 3 in Norway, 26 in Spain, number 3 in Sweden, number 3 in Switzerland, 1 in the UK, and then number 3 in the US Billboard 200. And this was in 1986 to 1988, and then had a random 2024 charting in Hungary, reaching number 10. So very interesting dichotomies there. But the song, it got added to my iTunes library, mm-hmm. and we're like, oh yeah, this is great.
Yeah, we're vibing.
So I'm going to give it a subjective Carmen score of a 4.2 and an objective life score of probably like 4.5. When you got a super group, it's hard to have a miss. Last thing I'll say before we jump into the rest of the information, because technically this is grazed content now, we're not just rambling idiots anymore, is I find myself really judging songs and artists off of their live versions of songs. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of live versions in my iTunes library of songs that I like, because I think there's a raw piece to it. And if I'm listening to, like, I just was listening driving home last night in a ton of thunderstorm, a crazy thunderstorm, just listening to Blink-182 at Lollapalooza in Brazil. So I love that stuff. That really brings a lot of joy to me. So I'm going to kick it back to you, Kelsey. Thanks for educating us on the writers and the other things.
Thank you. This episode was written by William Harper and directed by Chris Hayden. And it aired March 13th, 2014 to 7.36 million views.
What?
And I know, a big dip. Big dip. And the Netflix synopsis is, tension mounts among the doctors as more about the HR complaint is revealed. Mm. Callie and Arizona hash things out, but Callie gets bad news from Derek.
Mm.
And Derek is still wrong.
Yeah, and Derek is, I'll tell you, I have some beef with Derek this episode.
The argument is harder. It's harder to back him. It's harder to back him with every episode. I will say, like, he at least feels bad. I'll give him credit for that.
You could murder someone and feel bad. Like, you That's still true. Murdered someone.
That's very, you're not wrong.
I'm going to be against Derek on this episode. And usually I'm a Derek apologist because I like Derek overall. I would say it's probably a 51% like, 49% dislike. Okay. So majority of the time on Derek's side. But this one here, when he's talking to what's this guy's name? Todd? Or
I think it's Todd.
Some loser name. No offense to our Todds. And I'm kidding.
Like, whoa, kidding. Pump the brakes.
I actually have like 3 Todds in my life that are all good dudes. So just kidding. That's so funny. I also didn't realize how many Todds I have in my life until this exact moment. But I do have 3 Todds in my
life. Todd heavy.
Very Todd heavy. Yeah. That was a good one. You know, you have your Todds and you have your Toddums, and they're both very,
you got a totem of Todds.
Totem of Todds. Todd.
Anyways.
I can't keep going with this. And
so
he says,
you're mad at Derek,
like, yeah. He says, oh, well, these sensors, yeah, I'll get you the stuff for the patent. And the guy's like, yeah, you can't, you know, keep working with these, obviously. So like, we're good there. And Derek's like, whoa, wait. And then this guy, I'll use Todd. If I have his name wrong, we'll figure it out later. But Todd's like, I think it was pretty clear in our agreement that we need that. And there's no questions asked. We own that patent now. It's kind of like, that's kind of like the whole purpose of you joining us is like your sensors and that. And it comes with you. It's a package deal. My beef is, don't you think Derek fucking Shepherd had a lawyer look over this agreement with the president, Mr. Barack Obama, and his team? How can you make this mistake, Derek? How is this surprising
you? I'm just like, that's where my question comes up of like, whose error is it? Like, did Derek not realize, or were they just like, well, you should have assumed?
It sounds
because
like,
I feel like, because he's like, we want you and your sensors come with you or something like that. And I'm like, okay, I felt like he was saying it was almost more implied that it was going to be like exclusive. And I was like, why has this not already been clear? Like, what was the agreement? What was the offer? What did it look like? Now I'm just, you know, obviously, like, we're thinking a lot into it. That's the point of this podcast. But that was kind of, I was like, I don't feel as though this has been made clear to, I don't know. I kind of felt as though maybe there was an error on the government's part. Because to me, that's easier to believe that the government would make a mistake.
Something in the bureaucracy fell through the cracks. Yeah. Shocker.
Yeah.
Although, shout out to Mayor Zoran Mamdani, just out there filling potholes and holding town halls. And I saw someone.
The work of a public servant.
Yeah, you know, he's got his first 100 days. Did you see that post? Mm-hmm. And if you look through the comments, and they're like, wow, you ran on this and this and this, and none of it's happened. And someone said, it's been 100 days, you moron. And I'm like, yeah, this guy, just everyone shut the fuck up. Give this guy some credit. He's done a lot of good.
He's done a lot more than several other people ever have done in their first 100 days. So.
And has done it without threatening nuclear holocausts on an entire civilization.
And has done it successfully and has done things that were promised. Yeah. Not just gotten elected and go, just kidding, I was lying.
Yeah. Also, how dare... I'm not going to say Mr. or President. How dare Donald Trump, neither Mr. nor President, get beef with the Pope from Chicago? How dare you,
person? We're threatening the Pope. We're pretending to be Jesus. And then we're saying that we think
Jesus
is
crazy,
a doctor.
Right? It's actual blasphemy. Okay, this is not a Donald Trump podcast, but it's actual blasphemy. It is like the definition of blasphemy. Did you see him say, I'm so fucking tired. I thought I shared it because it was a picture of me as a doctor. I must not have looked at it.
I'm like, that's not, I'll have to post it on the Instagram. There's like a collection of the funny like tweets about it. And one of them was like an original cast photo of Grey's, but they were all in that outfit. And they're like what Donald Trump sees when he watches Grey's Anatomy.
That's funny. Anyways, this is a digression. I don't know what we were talking about. The government bureaucracy potentially making a mistake. So, but I have beef with that, and it bleeds over into Callie. And Callie's having a hard episode.
Yeah, rough times for Callie. Rough times for Arizona.
Do we want to just start with the Callie and Arizona storyline then?
Yeah, that feels like a good chunk. So, well, obviously, we're still in the HR claim. And here's where I'm getting baffled.
Our human resources era.
Yes. If we're going to introduce HR, we're going to fucking bring these people
in.
We
need to. Absolutely.
So now we got people filing accident reports out here. That's wild. Remember when Christina like stabbed Alex with an EpiPen and almost killed him?
Man.
Crazy.
Remember when an LVAD wire got cut? Dang.
Oh, what a time.
HR was involved when Dylan exploded, or do you think they're just like,
SWAT HR was involved.
SWAT HR. Well, yeah, they have a real HR team.
That's a different company. It's a different person's job.
Sorry, I cut you off. Continue. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So the reveal in this episode is the HR complaint was not lodged against Arizona. It was lodged against Callie. And my issue is what they describe when they're taking Arizona's statement is at this point, Callie knows Arizona has slept with someone. She doesn't know that it's Leah. She does not know that. And this is Callie is teaching in this moment. She has Leah like take the bone saw and she has some kind of tool and she goes all the way through the patient's leg, right? Whatever it is. and with and it goes into the table. And Leah is like freaking out, and Callie is trying to talk her down. She's not like being aggressive. She's trying to talk her. She's like, okay, this is what we do next. And Leah's like, no, I need to stop. I need to step away. I need to stop. And she's like, okay, I need you to focus. Like, you can do it. And then that's when Leah turns to Arizona and says, can you do something? And then Callie's like, this is who you slept with. And then she's like, okay, fine, you can leave. So this is where I'm confused.
I had the same confusion. Let's get further into it after just a quick capitalism break. Mm-hmm. The good kind.
The good kind.
The good kind of capitalism. Because I wish upon all of you that there's going to be beautiful ads for things that you actually need and discount codes for things you need. Like flowers. Like, I want to buy some flowers for the spring. Here's some a discount therapy. Code. Yeah, some online therapist, right? So those are the kind of capitalisms that we're going to find right now. We'll be right back after these messages. And we are back. Thank you so much. So finish your thought, because you and I are tracking. We're in sync right now.
I just like cannot get to where they're saying that Callie like went out of her way and was vindictive and like did all these things to hurt Leah and to hurt her career and to actively not teach her, because in like, to quote Callie, she says, oh, I was like petty and jealous. But in this moment that they're describing, this is the moment that Callie finds out, and Leah was actively trying to get out of the OR. Had it played out differently or happened in a different order, where like Callie finds out and then puts Leah in an impossible position and is like, hey, I need you to fail so that I can get really mean to you. Like what Owen was doing to Shane, like three episodes ago.
You and I were like this.
Man, during the day, we have the same brain.
Whoa. I need more coffee.
So it was just, I felt like that part of this story is unclear. But then at the end, when Callie's like, she was right, I was all of these things and it shouldn't happen to anyone, I'm like, okay, you're right in that it shouldn't happen to anyone, but you're not right in that you weren't all of these things. Like, I'm just confused. I feel like this specific plot point of this occurrence is being rewritten.
I'm so glad you say that. My exact quote coming out of that scene was all caps, but Callie didn't know about them at the time of the incident, and why is no one mentioning that? Mm-hmm. That is beef that I have.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that in this claim process, if HR does their job the way that it's supposed to, these kind of things should come out. And if they're getting Callie's statement, mm-hmm. Unless they're gaslighting all of us, right? Like if the writers are gaslighting us and say, we're going to retcon all of this history and Callie did know. Okay, fine, I guess, like whatever. But I have beef with that. So I don't love that specific kind of call out. And then you had the beautiful point right there. I love it. Our brains are like one right now, but it's not like when Owen was doing the shit with Shane and saying, oh, you don't know how to do a tie because you don't know the full anatomy of a fucking bowel or whatever it was, right? Like, that's crazy. Leah, I get where she's coming from. No one should ever feel like that at work. Absolutely. But Arizona, am I remembering something where she was an asshole to her at work? I think it was really, it was malicious.
I don't have, again, my issue with the complaint is not that it's there. I think overall on a macro sense, like, yeah, they need to lay down some rules. We've spent 10 seasons being like, where the fuck is HR? How are these people just all sleeping with like their superiors and their direct reports with like no repercussions whatsoever? It's wildly unprofessional. And also because of the nature of medicine, like it's also impacting people's education and career. So I don't have an issue with the complaint of somebody do something about this like abuse of power. That's not my issue. I agree with that. My issue is, to your point, like the rewriting of history. Like, we saw this moment happen and what they're describing is not what happened. And so I'm like, I wish either you're describing a moment that we didn't see, or maybe you just say like, now, you know, this, like maybe she says, oh, you know, I tried to work with her and she wouldn't let me be on her service, if it has to be Callie or Arizona. Honestly, it could be either one of those. But like that specific moment where we just see Callie find out, but then Leah again was already trying to leave and Callie was trying to teach. So that's my confusion and my beef with this specific like moment being the impetus for the HR claim.
Yeah, completely agree. What I'm also hopeful is they would have HR conduct a thorough witness investigation, because anyone who was there would be like, oh, and then Callie said, oh, so this is who you're sleeping with, leading them to believe that she had no idea going into it.
Right.
So, yeah, and Arizona, I guess when you walk into an HR situation, like, you don't always have your head on straight. So I guess maybe they weren't thinking, I don't think they would write it that cleanly from an emotional standpoint in a TV show like this, but I just really don't think Callie did anything wrong. There's definitely an abuse of power dynamic with Arizona and Leah.
Yes.
Absolutely. But I don't, that's what I was, trying to think of, is I don't remember Arizona specifically hindering Leah's ability or practice or access to surgeries. So,
but then
I don't know.
Right, Arizona gets out of this meeting with HR and Leah has to scrub in, and Arizona's like, I don't want you here. I'm like, girl, have you learned nothing? Like, this is actively what the issue at stake is. And you're like, let me make this worse for everyone. Like, what the fuck? It was like, girl,
and
read the room,
like,
learn a
lesson.
I
cared about you. I did all this stuff. And Leah said, no, you, like, I know what this was. This was just fucking sex. This is all this bullshit, whatever it is. And yeah, I there's a lot of things that are problematic with it. I don't know.
And then she's like, you brought it into the hospital. I'm like, okay, I just don't know. I feel like I don't love a history rewrite. I'll call it out when people I know do it. I'll call it out in a show. Again, if you want to like mention something that happened off screen that we did not see go down, that's fine. I have no issue
with
that.
Give us a flashback,
we don't see every single second.
Yeah, there
was kind of a flashback. But yeah, I just feel at this point that they think, all this went down before the winter break. These people aren't going to remember.
Yeah.
Here we are. Dissecting it fucking 12 years later.
Can we take a quick sidebar to compare? So do we think, in your opinion, do you think the more problematic relationship was the Leah and Arizona relationship, or the Leah, Arizona, Jackson, Steph, or Shane, Christina? Which one of those is the most inappropriate, do you think?
I kind of think Shane and Christina is the most inappropriate, but it's very close with Arizona and Leah, because my main beef with the Arizona and Leah is, again, it's really not on Leah, it's on Arizona, because Arizona and Callie had not set any clear like boundaries or expectations for their relationship. They just like quote unquote worse apart, or they were separated. So it, like, no one knew if they were going to get divorced. No one knew if they were still together and just taking a break. And that is on Arizona and Callie. And that's on Arizona for acting on that without any kind of clarity. And I think because honestly, I think with Christina and Shane, if those people were like peer equals in work, I would have no issue with that. I mean, like, I wouldn't do that. But I felt like they were pretty clear on, like, we'll just fuck. Like, you can be my human sex toy. Again, what makes that wildly inappropriate is strictly the power dynamic. Because at least they were clear about what was going on.
Right.
And then with Steph and Jackson, again, the only issue is the power dynamic. But it was very clearly a relationship. And, like, it was not a secret. Like, people knew what was happening. I just think, again, the issue is the power dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. And I also think the least problematic is the Jackson and Steph one. Like, that's pretty, clear too. Cause they were in a relationship.
Exactly.
So, and it wasn't hidden.
The other two being secret makes it gross.
Yeah.
The other two, like, there's just other things about the other two that are worse. Like, obviously they all are on the same playing field of the power dynamics fucked up, but there's other issues. I at least think that Arizona and Leah never had sex in the hospital, if I'm remembering correctly. So I'll give them that one thing they did well. And I could be misremembering, but I don't think they ever fucked in the hospital, which makes them a minority, because most of people be fucking in that hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the moral of the story is free Callie. You know,
leave Callie. Callie's having a horrible day. So this is happening. Arizona finds out. Arizona has to tell Callie. Before this, Arizona and Callie are also on a patient together that has been in and out of the hospital with, she was born, I think they say clubfoot, and they say the real name for it, and I am not currently remembering, but she has had just horrendously chronic pain, and she's like 15 or something, and they've done all these surgeries, and there is nothing left to do. Arthrogryposis. There's no way I'm saying that right. But so she comes in and they're trying to do a scar revision because she has all this scar tissue that's contributing to her pain. But she wants a leg amputation. She wants both legs amputated because of all her pain. She can't stand, she can't sleep, she can't do anything without just heinous pain. And they keep promising her, this one will fix it, this one will fix it, this one will fix it. And she's like, why don't you just like give me what word am I looking for?
Maybe prosthetics. My life back?
Prosthetics yeah. is the word I'm looking for. And so Callie's like, no, we can keep going. And Arizona's kind of like, actually, that might not be a terrible idea. And obviously her dad is like, blah, blah, no. And then he throws out the word crippled, which I don't care for. And Arizona corrects him. And then shows him that she does, in fact, have a prosthetic leg. And he says, oh, I didn't know that. She's like, why would you? Like, it's not.
Right.
My life is still the way that I want it to be. I can still do this job. I can still, you know, function without, you know, pain. And if your daughter, I mean, I feel like that age would potentially be a good time to make that transition because you're still like growing, so you can kind of grow with that learning curve. Obviously, there's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be a lot of physical therapy. They showed it with Arizona. It does seem like she's in a much better mental headspace than what Arizona went through. Obviously, very different scenarios, like a choice versus a horrendous accident that resulted in something that you didn't want. But you know, she does seem to have a good support system with her dad. And so Callie comes around to it. The dad comes around to it. They end up deciding to do this. And it seems like that's going to be the solve for this girl. You know, chronic pain is something that I feel like gets talked a lot about, but I have to imagine you can't really understand it unless you go through it. Like I've had issues where I've had like a pinched nerve in my back and I'm like, I actually don't understand how people function with chronic pain.
Yeah.
Because
it's pretty insane.
Miserable to be in pain 24/7.
Yeah, could not imagine. I mean, I went through, when I had one of my sicknesses a couple months ago, I went through 3 days straight of migraines.
Yeah.
And that was like, that's too much. I got to go to the urgent care, right?
Yeah.
Chronic pain for indefinite periods? No.
And like nothing you can't really, like, it's a one thing if like, oh, when I'm, you know, standing in this position or when I raise my arm this way, it hurts. So I just won't do those things. But just like existing, being in pain, I feel again, like it gets talked about a lot and there is empathy and sympathy for it, but it's probably not really something that people can understand unless they have lived it.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I will say, and it's hard to even put yourself in the situation like this being a real situation, right? Mm-hmm. I think the dad, while lashing out and using, again, the word crippled, not cool, he was kind of, I feel like he was handling the situation the way I would have. You know, you never want to see your child go through an extreme procedure like a leg amputation. Mm-hmm. You also don't want to see your child go through countless surgeries that aren't correcting the issue.
Right.
But I don't want to use the phrase, you know, being dealt a bad hand with the club foot thing, because people, you know, function with it and they make that work. It seems like this was a very extreme case though.
Yeah.
Where this isn't the normal club foot. I could be wrong. If there's anyone out there who lives with this or you know, has gone through treatments for this, please let us know. Like I'm speaking from a place of ignorance on this, right? The thing that is interesting is the dad is kind of going through his own arc of the seven stages or whatever.
How five. Many you say?
five stage. I'm just adding stages.
Just and two more phases for you.
The five stages of grief with regard to how he's envisioned the life of his daughter. So I can appreciate that as a parent that I don't think I would have if I wasn't a parent. Now, the layered effect of Arizona being there and the weird side arc that I said weird. I don't mean weird. The side are the adjacent side arc of Callie and Arizona going through their own beef of Arizona doesn't see things as needing to be fixed now. Right? Like she's gone through a lot of self-healing and work that she's done on herself, which she's acknowledging that at that end argument with Callie. I think it's a good resolution. And what's the quality of life piece that you're looking at? Like you could, he's like, my daughter can run. My daughter can do all this stuff. And that's a great call out. She's going to be able to run. She's going to be able to do sports. She's going to be, if she wants to, the prosthetics.
She's going to be able to maybe just get some sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Also a sidebar conversation, that dad was in an episode of Psych.
Delightful.
Yes.
I think also with, the parenting piece, there's like the default, I guess, is to kind of just work on, I don't want to make a choice that will make my child's life more difficult in any way. But you can only make those judgments from what you think is difficult. Like, I feel, again, he knows she's in pain, but as someone who hasn't dealt with chronic pain, I don't know that he fully like recognizes it. And there is, unfortunately, like a stigmatism, a stereotype with when women are dealing with chronic pain, that people and in the medical industry are just like, she's just dramatic. She just has a low pain tolerance, whatever it might be. It's fucked up. It's also reality. It is something that's being fought very hard in the medical field currently, and I do appreciate people who fight for that recognition. But there is that stigma. So it might be that he just is kind of thinking, you know, oh, if I do this, it will make her life harder, and not realizing that it actually is a solve, because it's not a solve that he thinks is quote unquote the norm or easy or whatever it might be. But I think that is like from the parenting standpoint, it's just like the default is, well, I don't want anything to happen. Like, I support you. I just also don't want your life to be harder. Like, I want you to do this, but like people are going to be mean and that makes me sad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like a weird fine line to deal with.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's a tough spot to be in. It's literally an impossible situation.
Yeah.
But
in the end, you know, he ends up being open-minded. He's willing to talk through it with Arizona, talk through it with Callie, like hear out his daughter and like why she wants it. And I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
There's growth.
Yeah.
Also with this, Callie is then like, and Derek says, and fuck you.
Yeah, that scene where I think it was the first scene where Callie and Arizona were disagreeing. She's like, why would you do that? Like, why would you undermine me? And Arizona's like, I don't think it's, you know, it's a bad thing. And Derek's like, hey, I got something to talk to you about. Can I talk? And Callie's like, not right now. I can't do this with you right now. And then they argue and they stop. And then she says, all right, Derek, what was your thing? And Derek's like, nothing.
Because Callie says, you're taking 3 years of work that I've put into this
window. That's right.
Derek's like, I'll catch you later.
Yeah, to give you more bad. At that point, you should have just ripped the Band-Aid off. You got to be like, I hate to give you more bad news.
I'm
going to
go ahead and pile on. I'm going to do the exact same thing.
What's your thoughts? I think piling it on, honestly, just get it done with. I don't want to have the prolonged bullshit. Just give me the pile.
No, I'm gonna prolong it, because I'm going to go back to the government and I'm going to be like, you're going to need to give me some wiggle room.
That's fair. That's a good point.
I'm going to give you pushback. How bad do you actually want me? Because you sought me out and now you're trying to control this shit. If you want me, this is what I want. That feels like a normal negotiating tactic.
You're
Derek.
Not my real dad.
Exactly. So that's what I would like to do. I would push it off in the notion of trying to find a different solution, not pushing it off and then just doing it later.
In the rest of the context, like adjacent pieces of this storyline, Arizona gets fully throttled and flipped over a bed. Yeah. While by Steph. And I had to go back and I had to watch that. She flipped over the bed fully. I hope that was really
legs
that
in
actress.
The air. Yeah. I'm sure it was a stunt person.
Who knows? The scene, though, where she's on the floor and her leg is just totally perpendicular to her body is hilarious in a comedic way, not in like I really hope to see that for someone kind of way. But Steph is like, oh my gosh. So that was funny. But then the later on, we get that quote of, oh, my leg's total. I got to use my beater leg, which is just funny as well. Yeah. And the other adjacent piece to that is the. We get two things. One, we get a rare scene with Christina and Arizona together.
Yes. I also was like, I like this. We don't get this enough.
Yeah. Why don't you talk us through that? And then I have one more thing to share.
Well, it's on the heels of, you know, a lot of other Christina and Shane's patient that we'll get into in a little bit. But Christina finds Arizona kind of at the end of the day, readjusting. She's got some, the leg that she ends up using is like not the one that's, I guess, fitted as well. It's not the one she uses the most. So it's causing some chafing. She's got some blisters. So she's reapplying like some bandages and I would assume some kind of medication to help with that. And Christina sits with her and like, she's like, oh, are you okay? And then Arizona goes, bad leg day. And Christina's like, yeah, me too. I'm like, girl, come on now. So then she says, do you ever think about it? And Arizona says, yeah, like when I'm really stressed, I dream about it. I dream about Mark and Lexi. And like the day before Sophia's first day of school, I had, you know, nightmares about it. And Christina says, oh, yeah, when I dream about it, I just hear you screaming. So thank you for that. So, and they just have a moment where they talk Mark, Lexi, Jerry, the pilot, and just kind of like, they're back in it, but they're there as a support system. And it is, to your point, not a dynamic that we see a lot, but it's kind of hard to forget, or it's hard to remember like who was in the plane crash because they were all there together. So when you like remove them from that scenario and then put them back in the hospital, but then the two of them are like reconnecting over that shared trauma. I thought they did that well.
Yeah. And it wasn't a ton of dialogue. It wasn't a ton of like airtime on the episode. I think it accomplished its goal, which I really am very appreciative of. And I'm going to, you could have said on the heels, you could have said on the heelies of, you know, to be a really, really good pun here, but missed opportunity. I'll give you those notes later, that feedback,
thanks,
you know,
so much.
But that's the other thing that's going on.
I'm not accepting feedback right now.
Yeah, that's fair. Callie brings Arizona the Heelys and is like, hey, do you want these? And Arizona says, nah, fuck it. Toss those bitches.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. She keeps them.
Yeah.
And in that end scene, I don't know if you have the receipts of that end like argument, but all like the speech that Arizona says. But the takeaway from that at the end is Arizona's like, I used to be a happy person. I used to wake up and my default was happy.
Yeah.
And now it's not. Like, I've had to do all this shit over the last year. And Callie just looks at all of that, walks away, says nothing. Arizona's crying. And Callie walks back with the box of Heelys and says, let's fucking go. We're going to learn how to ride a bike, basically.
Yeah.
And gets her on it. I think that's really cool. So I don't know if you have those pulled up, but I thought that was a really cool scene. And I like at the end when they're just sitting there laughing and she's relearning how to ride her Heelys. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, Callie comes in. This is after Callie has gone to HR and had to do her report to them. Statement, whatever. And Arizona says, how did it go? Callie says, I'm going to bed. And Arizona says, I think Murphy was right. And Callie says, of course she was right, Arizona. I mistreated her and I was petty and jealous and at my worst because you slept with her. Of course she was right. I keep thinking we're okay and we buy a house and then this happens and I'm not sure we'll ever be okay. And today I lost my research. I failed a patient and now I have a disciplinary report that's going to follow me forever. So I'm going to bed. And Callie starts to leave and Arizona says, I'm sorry. I feel like all I've been doing is thinking about myself. And Callie says, I swear I cannot listen to you apologize one more time. You have made it so hard to keep forgiving you. And then Arizona says, for over a year since the plane crash, all I have been thinking about is myself. I had to figure out how to be me. I used to be someone who was always happy. I woke up happy. I was someone who used to skate at work. And then this happened and everything was hard and everything took thought and planning. And my life felt like it didn't fit me anymore. And I just wanted to tear it down and start over. So just throw it all away and find a life that fit who I am now. But I am starting to feel like I know who I am again. And I have had to give up things. But what I've learned is that I don't need much. I don't need much to be happy. I don't even need two legs, but I do know that I need you. I need Sophia and I need you. And I am afraid now that I've learned all of that, I made you give up on me. And Callie leaves the room and you're like, oh, damn, she did give up on you. But then she comes back in with the box from that morning and pulls out the wheelie sneaks and is like, you shouldn't have to give up anything, which I really liked. And I thought it tied a bow back to the patient really nicely because they're saying like, she can live a normal life with these prosthetics. And Arizona, you know, that just that morning was like, well, you know, that was her normal was the wheelie sneaks. And Callie's like, if you like want to get back to yourself, then let's get back to yourself. This is a huge part of you. Like, let's put in the work to try and to try it, see if we can make it happen. And I do love that shot of them at the end where Callie's like kind of supporting her and like pulling her forward and like trying to help her. And they're stumbling together, but they're just, they're both happy in that moment. And they're both being there for each other in very specific ways. And I liked what Arizona said about like, I've learned that I actually don't need much, because she really did burn her fucking life down. And she's trying, you know, second chancing, she's trying to rebuild. And so I think it's a very vulnerable moment for her to be saying all these things to Callie and say like, I don't need a lot, but I do know that I need you. And I do think they've really frame it to make it look like Callie's like, fuck you. But then she comes back with the sneaks, obviously.
Yeah.
And I also think it speaks a lot to Callie, because when Arizona told her to throw them out, she didn't, because she was like, I know she, like, this is important to her and she needs this, so I'm not going to throw it away.
I have a lot of feelings about Callie and Arizona. I like them together. I like their dynamic. I like the way that they're depicting this relationship and the struggles that go with an insane situation. We know people in our lives that have faced far less and end up divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at what they've gone through. Callie has been put through the ringer in every relationship we physically have seen her with, whether it's George, whether it's with Arizona, whether it's with her fucking parents.
Mm-hmm.
And still to stand by Arizona, I think they've written Callie as a very complex character. And this episode has really taken her up a notch or two in my book, honestly. And I've always liked Callie. But
yeah,
the capacity at which Callie has forgiven, The capacity for forgiveness is very interesting and unique in a show and in a world where it would be very easy to look at all the things Arizona did and the year that she took and was selfish, in her own words. The sleeping with Leah, the trauma of losing the leg and how she lashed out. All of those things would be very easily.
Sleeping with Lauren.
Yeah. Yeah. Like all these things. So I like that there is this remorse. I would have liked to have seen a full therapy journey.
Mm-hmm.
We're just, it's implied at this point that she's done work on herself, whatever. We just have to deal with that as audience, but it was a cool scene. I really am pulling for them to be together. And I think this is the first time that Arizona has been able to articulate the things that she's wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Even over the last couple of weeks of episodes, maybe in the last like month or two of episodes where it's the post Lauren cheating, because they've gone through the house, they've gone through the Callie got her a ring. Like there's a lot that mm-hmm. Callie has done for Arizona, and Arizona, I think, is in a spot now where I really hope that she's doing it back to Callie and showing that kindness and showing that commitment back. Because right. it felt like it's been very one-sided up to this point. So I'm hopeful that we're at like a page turning.
Yeah.
So
I will say, apologizing, harder to forgive you is a fucking brutal thing to say.
Yeah.
But go ahead. What were you going to say?
The last thing I will say just on that topic is I think it's worth recognizing as well that comment a while back in that big argument, Callie wasn't on the plane.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that Callie has done so much trying to be there and empathize and both empathize and sympathize with Arizona, again, speaks to her character because she wasn't on the plane. And Arizona, for the first time, I think, is at a point where she's like,
recognizing that
it's not your fault that you weren't on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to in the past, it was resentment to her not being on the plane. Does that make sense? I hope I gave all my thoughts very clearly.
And I want to also clearly say, and then we'll wrap up and move to the next step, that even if Leah had not filed this HR complaint, I do think this aspect of their relationship was still going to have to come to a head. All of this has stuff like this, stuff that's like this deep to your the core of who you are when you're changed, the way that Arizona was changed and the way that like Callie was changed by losing Mark and all of that. Like that stuff changes who you are as a person. And if you just sit on that, you can't succeed with your spouse because like if you're going to change and stay in a relationship, you have to like make sure you're changing in a way that your spouse like is aware of.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to share that. And if you can't share that with your spouse, then yeah, it's not going to work. And it's not fair to then just be like, well, they don't get it. Like, you have to give people the opportunity. So I don't think that, like, there are definitely people that, like, blame Leah for any issues that happened between Callie and Arizona. And they're like, oh, this HR thing. And I'm like, nah, dude, like, this, whether or not this happened, they have to air this shit out. Like when they almost break up at April and Jackson's wedding, but then like fine, they're fine. Like I'm like, y'all got some whiplash. Y'all got a the communication is, as in most relationships in this show, is the missing piece. And so to see in this episode that finally like come out in such like an honest way from both of them is refreshing. And you're like, okay. And then to have them like outside with the wheelies, just like being there for each other, both like physically supporting each other. And also like in such a, just like emotional way that calls back to who they were at the beginning of their relationship. I love it. It's so nice. And it's just like a happy moment. And I just think it shows who they are and who they are now, but also who they were when they got together, which is really nice. Cause it's such a long period of time and there's been so much growth and change. So it's nice to be able to see people still like rooted in the core of their relationship.
Yes. I could not have put a bow on this better. I don't think I have any other final thoughts. And if I do, we'll call them out because there's like, there's a lot of weaving that happens in this episode, but I feel good with part one.
Cool. Then we'll see you guys in part two after everyone's favorite segment.